Our study this morning is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, focusing on God's edifying use of suffering. False teachers, claiming to be apostles, had entered the church at Corinth, and they tried to promote their own ideas while discrediting the person and message of the apostle Paul. This was a difficult situation for Paul. His readers were immature believers who had been saved out of corrupt backgrounds in a city known for its vice, so they were easy prey for false teachers. And Paul had to be careful how he handled the situation, lest his readers think that he was being unjustly defensive and thus discredit himself. Accordingly, the first seven chapters dealt with Paul's relationship with the church. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, focused on God's edifying use of suffering in the church. So we view the passage for our insight and application. I want to start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word. Father, we thank you for your love for Christ, for us. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made it possible for us to be children of God through faith in Christ. We thank you for the indwelling Spirit of God who authored the Word of God through holy men of God, who also equips us to understand the Word and to use it, and then gives us the power to live the Word of God. We ask for wisdom to utilize each one of these ministries of the Holy Spirit this morning, that we might fellowship with you and grow in grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at the passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so you shall be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many in our behalf. Okay, focusing on God's edifying use of suffering, there are four major reasons why believers suffer, tribute that are given in this passage, and each one of them is valuable for us to know. First of all, God uses believers' sufferings to equip them to edify other believers who suffer. That's verses 1 through 7. After giving his opening greetings in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 and 2, Paul expressed praise to God for his merciful comfort in all the tribulations that he and his ministry team faced. Paul acknowledged that the way God had comforted him and his ministry team in turn equipped them to comfort others who faced trouble with the comfort that God had provided for them. Many years ago, I heard about a missionary couple that went to, I think it was New Guinea, in the Pacific Ocean, and they worked with a tribe. Their goal was to lead the tribe to Christ and translate the Bible in their language into the Bible, and they could have their own Bible and whatnot. And this woman had come from a background where she had been physically beaten many times by her father. And she'd had to overcome that and had dealt with it. Well, the tribe into which they were assigned was a tribe that culturally the men constantly beat up their wives. And it was creating tremendous psychological problems and spiritual issues and whatnot. And she knew how to handle that because she had been there herself. And so she had a tremendous ministry with the women of that tribe. And it was very consequential towards helping them overcome that problem. And then, of course, teaching the men that that's not the way they're supposed to be treating their wives at all, which was an insight to them. They didn't know that. So sometimes God allows us to suffer simply to equip us with the consolation that we receive of him, how to turn around and help other people who may be weaker and who may not have the capacity to handle that kind of suffering. It's very important. Number two, God uses believers' sufferings to teach them to trust God instead of themselves. Though Paul offered no details on the trouble that he and his ministry team had faced in the Roman province of Asia, he admitted that it had been severe. They had been so utterly burdened beyond their strength that they had despaired of life itself. I think it's fascinating. Here's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's actually had the Lord Jesus appear to him and minister to him, but he got to the point where he despaired of life itself. There was a fear of death. Death is nothing that any of us looks forward to, but Paul faced this problem. Well, at the time, the suffering was so great that Paul and his ministry team actually felt that they had received the sentence of death, that they were about to lose their physical lives. However, the Lord had allowed that event to occur to make Paul and his ministry team not rely on themselves, but on God who raises the dead. Sometimes God allows that. It's like taking a child who doesn't know how to swim and throwing him in the deep end of the pool and then pulling him out. And that's exactly what sometimes God does. He allows us to get into something that is so far above our heads that we know good and well we can't even begin to handle it. So that what we do is just relax and wait on him. And then he comes through. And what that does is stretches our faith. We realize that God is a good God. We realize that God is all powerful. He can go where we can't. He can do what we cannot begin to do. And that builds our faith. Now, wonderfully, the Lord had delivered them from the deadly peril that they had faced. And then number three, God uses believers' sufferings to prepare them to handle future sufferings by faith in him. God's deliverance of Paul and his ministry team from the life-threatening trial that they had faced in Asia caused them to trust that he would deliver them again where they'd face another great trial. They reasoned that it must not have been God's time for them to die, or he certainly could have allowed them to die with the intense level of danger that they had faced. So for that reason, Paul and his team had set their hope on God's future deliverance, were a future greater trial to occur, as it was clearly God's desire to keep the team alive and ministering at the time. So that's interesting, too. Sometimes God does allow us to face trials, and it's a building block. He wants us to be prepared for a greater trial of the similar type that is going to occur in the future, and that way we can handle it. So, number four, God uses believers' sufferings to unify and to edify the church. Paul mentioned the need for his readers to help him and his ministry team fulfill God's will to stay alive and continue to minister by means of their intercessory prayer in their behalf. As a result, many believers would give thanks for God's gracious favor to Paul and his ministry team due to the intercessory prayers of many believers in their behalf. So the number of believers would include not only the believers in Corinth, but believers in all the local churches where Paul administered throughout the Roman Empire. These people would have heard of this, and they would have gone to prayer, and they would have helped. A number of months ago, actually going back in September, as you recall, my wife developed an ulcerated foot, which, essentially got her off of her feet. And there were just a lot of things that she couldn't do. And it was really something. There were ladies in the church that came over to the house and actually did housework. It was a real blessing to see them do that. And the Lord equipped us to get through it. But it was something that was an eye-opener to us as we could see that people really wanted to help and were able to be of a help. And there were cards and calls and things, and it's really something to be on the receiving end of that. So sometimes that's why people suffer. God allows that to occur in order to unify the church, to spark the church, to rally around people who are in need. So the lesson is Paul sought to edify his readers at Corinth by focusing them on God's use of the sufferings that he and his ministry team faced. And God's use of those sufferings equipped them to comfort other believers who suffered, to teach believers not to trust in themselves, but to rely on God who raises the dead, to prepare believers to handle future severe sufferings by faith in God, and to unify and edify the church by moving believers to rally around those who suffered with intercessory prayer. So in application, may we not become discouraged just because we face intense suffering, but realize that God is allowing us to face this trial to equip us better to disciple others, or to build our faith in Him, or to prepare us to handle even greater trials in the future, or to edify and unify the church by means of a lot of intercessory prayer. And number two, if we face a trial that is far beyond our capacity to understand even how to handle it, may we simply relax and pay attention to the Lord's leading, as He is obviously seeking our attention by the trial, and that we then follow His guidance. Many times what God is doing, he's allowing a great big gong, 6-foot gong, to be rung in our right ear to get our attention. And once He has our attention, He says, all right, now I want you to follow me. Learn how to follow me. Don't just go off and do your own thing. Follow. And that's really tough. We Americans are taught to pull yourselves up by your own bootstrap, show some initiative, and get out there and work. But when it comes to spiritual things, God says, no. You need to follow my lead. It's interesting, when He called His disciples, He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He doesn't say, follow me and go out and fish for men. No, He says, follow me, let me make you an adequate fisher of men. This is where evangelism comes. We have to learn from God step by step how to be a witness for Him. So that's what we need. Some of our trials are just trials that teach us to follow His guidance. And then when we follow Him, we learn some things. And we learn to rely upon the Lord, and we learn to see the tremendous sovereignty that God has in His church. Okay, we'll turn it over to you. There may be some feedback or some questions that you have.